Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks so much.
Dance with the guy that brung you. If Elvis Presley wants to see you again, he's going to have to come here and meet the family. Look here. I'm going to be blunt. What are your intentions? Come on, you're Elvis Presley. You've got women throwing themselves at you. Why our daughter? She's only 14.
Well, sir, I'm very fond of her.
The time you spend together, what do you do?
I think what my husband means is what...
Anne, I mean, what do you do?
I told you. We talk.
Sir, Priscilla's mature for her age. And I like her company. All right, it's been kind of lonely. You know, being away from home and all. And I guess you might say I need somebody to talk to. You don't have to worry about her, Captain. I'll take good care of her.
Well, I might as well make this clear. If you want to see Priscilla again, you'll have to pick her up and bring her home.
Sir, the only problem with that is, by the time I get off duty, go home, clean up, drive over here and back, well, the evening's gone. And I wondered if you wouldn't mind if my daddy picks Priscilla up.
And I'd be happy to do that, sir.
But you'll bring her home?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Hello, and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is the podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
We have a very, very fun book and movie today. But for those of you who are new, you know, we usually do a new episode every 2 weeks. But since we have been in, what do we want to call this? Lockdown, quarantine, whatever we're calling it nowadays.
Stay at normal.
Stay at home. But we are doing a brand new episode every single week. And your suggestions are more important than ever. And there are several places on the internet where you can suggest books and movies and interact with other listeners of the podcast, as well as with us.
Yes, we do have a basic Facebook page, but if you join the Facebook group, we're more interactive there. So you just type Book Versus Movie Podcast Group. I think it's Book VS Movie Podcast Group in Facebook, and you ask to join. It's a private group, and we just talk about books and movies, and we take suggestions there. And you guys have been really showing up lately and giving us some really cool ideas. So thank you so much for that. We're also on Twitter at Book Versus Movie. Just spell it all out. We're on Instagram, Book Versus Movie Podcast. And our email is Book Versus Movie Podcast, spell that all out, at gmail.com.
And we also have a Patreon account.
We do. So we have episodes there. We started the show 6 years ago, and most podcast apps don't go back very far. So we're taking our older episodes and we're putting them on a Patreon wall. We have very affordable options, $1, $3, $5 options. I just put Gone Girl behind the paywall, and Jaws is behind the paywall now. So some of our more popular episodes are going to be there where you can listen to them. So just go to patreon.com and look up Book VS Movie Podcast. If you want to support us.
Yes. And we appreciate it. You don't, certainly under no obligation, but it does help us, you know, pay for these books and movies. Mm-hmm. Now, normally we do have just a couple of kind of basic rules when we're choosing books and movies, although we are admittingly bending them a little bit this week. But usually the rule is It has to be a book and movie that is very easy to access. Is it streaming? Especially now that we, you know, we are all under various, you know, rules and regulations about going outside, and libraries are only doing digital checkouts. Are these books and movies easily available, easily accessible? We don't want people shelling out a lot of money for our books and movies. So today's though is a little bit not quite following the rules, but it was inspired by one of Margot D's other podcasts. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm a co-host of a show called What a Creep. And me and my friend Sonia, we pick a creep every week and then we end the show with a non-creep. I recently did an episode about Elvis Presley and I read this book. And you and I got to talking about this particular book we're talking about today, Elvis and Me. I just sent you a copy because I thought maybe you'll enjoy reading it as much as I'm enjoying reading it all over again. We decided, even though it's only available in paperback, even though you have to watch kind of a janky version on YouTube, we're going to do it anyway. We're breaking the rules. We're throwing all the rules out the window for this particular episode because we just super want to talk about it. It's just like it's a huge pop culture bubble from the 80s, and I'm just super excited about it.
I am as well. I had never read the book, but I remember watching the movie. The movie was made for TV. I remember watching it on TV back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, you know, not everybody had cable.
Yeah. So
our options for entertainment, you know, at home were severely limited. So, you know, when the networks, in those days, it was the main three networks. Fox didn't come along until actually right about this time in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But for the longest time, it was just the three networks. And so they would do these like made for TV movies or miniseries. And it was like a cultural event. So many more people watched them than would today if the same thing happened. You know, if CBS or whatever network it was decided to do, you know, a two-part TV movie about a celeb biography, I don't think it would pull anything near the kind of numbers that Elvis and Me did. But I remembered it. I remembered it pretty clearly. I was surprised how much of it I remembered.
Yeah, same here.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not like a big person or anything.
Well, so this might be also a little different because I think it's going to be kind of a mishmash. I don't know. Well, I guess when we start talking, we'll get into it. But, you know, Elvis is, I remember when, spoiler, Elvis died. But he died in 19. I don't know if you remember it. I remember when he died.
I remember vividly. Oh, yes. It was all the, again, speaking of the three networks, there mm-hmm. really was no cable in 1977. And it was all that was on television for days. I remember that.
I remember, and I think we were on vacation, and I remember it was August of 1977. I think we were on vacation, and my dad would go and get the papers every day and then come back. People also did that. And it was on every paper. And he and my mom just be very quietly reading it. And we were just sort of like, well, who's Elvis? Who is this guy? And my parents never played his music. They didn't talk about him. My dad was into jazz. My mom was like into Anne Murray and John Denver. Like they never talked about Elvis. And they were so bummed out. And it's now I realize like, oh, he's around their age. He was only 42. And he was gigantic, unbelievable. And he was super famous. He was super, super famous. And he was a big, big star at one time. And so it's like when Michael Jackson died, like I have a full memory of him, of my, like listening as a little kid to Michael Jackson up till.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was the same thing. And it was
I was going to say, I was aware of who Elvis was when he died. I mean, I was four, but even at that age, I used to love what's your name? Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon, those beach movies. They would show them on the weekends on the Los Angeles local channel. And they would also show all of these very silly, but to me as a young kid, like I thought they were amazing. All of the old silly Elvis movies where he's singing about like, you know, whatever the movie is about, he's singing about like mowing the lawn. Yeah, clam bake. And so I did know who he was, but I was very young and just becoming aware of who he was. And now he's dead, you know? So, and it was just like such a, I'm sure you remember, like I do, like it, for those of you who remember when Princess Diana died.
Yes.
It was literally like that. Just days and days of television coverage, streets lined with wailing fans, seas of flowers and cards. That's what I remember about that week that Elvis died.
And it was a big deal because he was only 42. And I don't think people knew about his drug problems. I don't think it got it. I just don't think people knew about that. So then it was just like, well, how do you kill a 42-year-old man who's, you know, the king of rock and roll? He was at his home, and his home was in Memphis. It was in a mansion in Memphis. So that's not New York or LA. So all this media descended upon this place. And it was just crazy. And over the years, and then he became a legend. And the legend of Elvis is that people wear the white jumpsuits and the sparkly and all that stuff. And that was just a few years of his life. It wasn't, you know,
it was a very short time. Yeah. It was not long. Yeah. It was, I guess, just because it was like the last phase of his career. But this book, if you want to get it, Margot sent me this book. I was having a very challenging week. I was kind of bummed out, and she sent me this book, and it's trash. it's very entertaining. And the full title is Elvis and Me, The Intimate Story That Could Have Been Written Only by the Woman Who Lived It, by Priscilla Bolo Presley with Sandra Harmon.
Her ghostwriter.
The ghostwriter. Obviously, Priscilla Bolo Presley was his wife. She tells us her version of her story. She has like a slightly different view of her experience of that part of her life, I would say, in retrospect. But it's a very interesting character. But the book came out, it's 1985, is that right?
Yeah, it comes out in 1985. So the book is 35 years old.
Wow. So let's talk about Miss Priscilla Presley.
Also,
she's like something.
She's quite something. And also, Margot, at that time, wasn't she starring in Dallas? Like, she had an acting career.
Yes.
Yep.
She did have an acting career. And she was in the Naked Gun movies
with
Leslie Nielsen as well. Very pretty.
Beautiful woman. Beautiful, beautiful woman. Well, the story is, in case you don't know, is that Elvis was 10 years older than Priscilla. She was born May 24th, 1945. She's 75. Because I always see her as young with the big hair, you know, from the TV movie. That's how, and also from the Naked Gun movies, of course. Yes. She was born into a military family. They moved a lot. And when she was 13, she found out that her father was actually her stepfather, and that her birth father died in, just as he was going off to war, like very soon after. Right. And so her mother remarried, and she had always felt different from the other kids. She looked different from them. She wondered about that. So she found this out. And around the same time she found this out, her stepdad says, hey, we're leaving Austin, where Priscilla has this charmed life. She's incredibly beautiful. She has a lot of friends. She's very popular. And they go to Germany.
Yeah. I mean, I thought she did a good job of describing it in the book, but I just can't imagine. So first of all, 13 is a horrible age.
Yes.
Anyway, it's so hard, especially for a girl. And she finds out that, you know, from her point of view, her whole life has been a lie. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, we're leaving your whole life behind and moving to the other side of the world.
And her mother says, let's keep it a secret between us. Don't tell your dad.
What? I know.
Which is like, that's a lot of pressure. And I feel for her. I mean, because I moved a lot when I was a kid. My dad worked for IBM. So I know what it's like to move when you're, you know, 13 years old. It sucks. It's hard. She's going to another country. She has to learn a new language. So Austin is like a very warm place. It's hot weather, lots to do. Germany's cold in the winter. And there's just a lot going on for her. Elvis is at this time, he's 24, and he was inducted into the army. And my mom always talks about my grandfather always liking Elvis because he did his duty. He didn't try to avoid it. You know, okay. You know, we weren't at war or anything, but yeah, draft boards were a thing though. And Elvis's number came up. He's stationed in Germany. By all accounts, he was very nice. Like, I think paid for the TV sets for the base, and he paid guys to make his bed and stuff, but he paid him like $20 a time. Like, he was very, very generous, but he liked to party. Right before Elvis leaves for Germany, his mother died. It's like a month or two before, and she was only 46. Basically, it was complications from alcoholism. And his father started dating pretty soon after that. And then Elvis goes to Germany. Yeah.
Sounds like immediately. And that the another thing I think is significant about that was that Elvis was a twin.
Mm-hmm.
And his twin brother had died. And so the mom was always kind of, I got the impression, didn't you, that she was always sort of in a delicate state. And
I would be.
Understandably, understandably just worried constantly about her now only child. Yeah, so I think that was kind of interesting that, I mean, okay, they're putting aside the fact that they're 10 years apart.
Right.
They both have gone through kind of a catastrophic, what's the word, catalyst point in their life. You know, they've both just had like massive rugs pulled out from under them. And that's at the point at which they meet.
Exactly.
But let us not forget for a moment.
Right.
She is 14.
She's 14.
10 years old plus four.
People knew this. You know, it's like it ruined Jerry Lee Lewis's career to marry his 13-year-old cousin. Elvis somehow got away with it, but I think it's because he wasn't that out in the open about it. He kept her to the side. But let me say this. So Priscilla's lonely. She's going to this school in Germany. In her memoir, and once again, this is her truth that she was speaking. This is her truth. That's what. There's a lot we want to editorialize, but let's just speak it from her truth from this time. Is she says she was at this, you know, the American base having a soda with her brother after school, and a guy comes up to her and says, "Hey, would you like to meet Elvis Presley?" And she says, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, we have a part. He has an apartment off base, and he has these parties, and they just sing and they play the piano, and it's really fun. If you want to meet him, you should go." And she said, "Okay, but you have to ask my parents. You have to ask my parents for their permission." And kind of, I think what it was is that once Priscilla and her mother had this secret between them, Priscilla kind of used that as leverage, maybe, or maybe just Priscilla felt older and bolder. But Cary Grant is the man's name. Now, let's talk about this guy. 27 years old and married. And he's picking up women and children for this pop star.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So he goes, and in the book, he goes and meets the parents, and he's like, he lives with his father and his grandmother, Dodger, and they just play piano and they sing gospel songs and pop songs. And then everybody goes to bed early because everybody has to get up early, you know, for, you know, the bass and everything like that. And her parents let her go. And this couple takes her. And according to her memoir, she meets Elvis. They have like a really nice conversation. They just click. And yeah, she's 14. She's in the ninth grade, if that helps, you know, like, and he's a 24-year-old man who's one of the most famous people in the world. But she's astonishingly beautiful. I mean, but she's a kid.
She is gorgeous, but she is a child. Yes.
She is a child. She can't vote. She can't drive. You know, she can't do a lot of things. She's 14. They have a relationship for 6 months. Priscilla stays at his place overnight or very late. And according to Priscilla, this guy, Cary, tried to rape her because he figured she was having sex with Elvis. She'll have sex with him now, or he's not going to drive her to see Elvis anymore. That's what she puts in her biography. Cary gets fired or whatever, but Elvis and Priscilla have a 6-month relationship. She swears, stack of Bibles, they did everything but intercourse.
Yes.
This is what we're now, meant to
believe. He, in addition to all these girls and women that this guy was bringing for him in Germany, he had a longtime girlfriend back in Memphis named
Anita Wood.
Yes, Anita Wood. That's right. Anita Wood, because that was what his entourage joked, Anita Wood and Priscilla Wood. I found a documentary. Did you watch that documentary with her?
No, actually.
Oh, I will put it in the Facebook group. There's a documentary with her, with basically, this is terrible, but basically with all the other women that Elvis dated while he was with Priscilla in one way or another. But Anita Wood, first of all, she's still extremely beautiful, but she was older than Priscilla. She was a beauty queen from Memphis, and she seems very smart and very quite savvy. And they were very serious. They were a very serious couple. Anita, it was funny because it seems like they both kind of knew about each other. Anita definitely knew about Priscilla. And she said that she had found, like, when Elvis came back to Memphis, she had found a letter from Priscilla and confronted him about it. And he tried to play it off like he did with her about what he did with Priscilla about Anita, like, oh, it's nothing. She's just some girl, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And she said that when she was walking out of the room, she heard him say, I don't know, to somebody, one of his entourage or something, something like, oh, Lord, I can't choose between these two women. And so she said that she sat him down and she was like, well, I'm going to make that choice real easy for you. We're done. And so she actually broke it off because of Priscilla. But yeah, it's a really interesting. They talked to Anne Margaret. It's mm-hmm. quite something. I will put it in the group.
Yeah, please. So they meet. They have this 6-month relationship, and word starts to get out that this is going on. And he has a teenage girlfriend. And is when Elvis does his duty and he's going to fly home, he had Priscilla go out with him to the airport. And so all these photographers are taking pictures of Priscilla. And I believe it's with her mother or his grandmother. I can't remember which, but it's pretty famous photos. And she's waving goodbye and he's waving goodbye to her. All these people are around. That girl is 14, maybe 15 at this point. I mean, it's
even so.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a kid. He goes to LA. He goes to Memphis. He has Graceland in Memphis. And then he goes to LA and he's making movies. And Priscilla says that she spends the next year or so writing to him every day. She was constantly thinking about him, and that's her truth. And then he brought her out for a visit to see him when she was 16 or 17, and he took her to Vegas and gave her a makeover.
Okay. Yes. He convinces, I mean, her poor parents.
I know.
He convinces her parents to allow her to visit him in Los Angeles for 2 weeks, and, you know, swears up and down about, you know, she's going to be chaperoned and aw shucks and my dad will be there and don't you worry. And as soon as she arrives in Los Angeles, he whisks her off to Vegas and gives her some kind of vampy trampy makeover.
Right.
And makes her all up and takes her out on the town and keeps her up to all hours and gives her drugs.
Right. Yeah, he started taking pills actually in the army because the sergeants say, hey, this will give you pep in your step. It'll help you wake up in the morning because there's such. And I'm like, we're giving this to military people that are, you know, armed and protecting us. Like, what? But that's where Elvis said he got his pill addiction from. But yeah, he gives them to Priscilla because he's up all night and he sleeps all day. That's his lifestyle. He's not going to work for a living. I mean, he does movies and that's about it. Takes her to Vegas, puts her on a plane, sends her home to visit, to see her parents in Germany. And she comes off the plane. Her makeup's all messy. Her hair's a rat's nest. She looks like she, my mother would say, she went through a hedge backwards. Like, she just looks a fright. And her parents are furious. And Elvis, you know, manages to talk them into. So Elvis has plenty of girlfriends at this time, by the way, that Priscilla doesn't know about.
Oh, the whole freaking time.
And he alternates between women who are co-stars like Anne Margaret, Juliet Prowse, or just women like Nancy Sinatra to super young teenage girls. And I mean young. 14. He liked 14, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his favorite age. So he's doing all this, and Priscilla's just saying, she's saying that she's pining away for him in Germany. And then Elvis, when she's 17, she visits him, and then Elvis says to her parents, you know what? There's a Catholic school here in, where I live in Memphis. Why doesn't Priscilla go to that school so she and I could be together? She'll live with my father and his fiance. And she will, like you said, she'll be chaperoned. It'll be very safe. And her parents go along with it. I mean, she only has 6 months left of high school. It's her last semester. But
right. They
do. They go along with it and they send her over. And everybody knows he's got this senior in high school, you know, is his girlfriend. It's crazy.
It's just shocking.
Right.
Just the I just don't know what to say. I'm just so upset for her parents. Yeah, it's I mean, even for then, yes, people, you know, kids got married younger, I guess.
Yeah.
But still.
My parents were young. I mean, but, yeah. But that's still a very big age gap. There's a power differential. You know, he's the rich one. He's the famous one. He's considered the important one. She's just a kid. He's grooming her. And he's basically creating the woman he wants. So he wants a woman with long hair, with jet black hair, wearing a lot of eyeliner, and who will stay up with him and just laugh at his jokes and not be a problem. Like, that's right. That's exactly what he wants. According to Priscilla, once again, this is her truth from her book. She says they never had sex. They had a lot of sexual games they would play, a lot of role playing. She would make videos for him. But they would do everything but, because he wanted to keep her pure, for their wedding night.
Yeah.
So it comes to 1967. His movies are really bad. He doesn't have a hit. You know, he's not as popular as he used to be. The Beatles are taking over everything. You know, the music world is Motown and all this other stuff. He seems quaint. He's like from another era. And
Right. He's
sort of talked into getting married. He's like, that's going to help you. If you marry this woman. Yeah.
Career move. Were you struck as I was by, here's something I wondered. So he's making these really crappy movies and they are really bad.
They're terrible.
I mean, he did make some legitimately good movies. He certainly did, but he made a whole lot of really bad ones. And he's got this massive entourage mm-hmm. that he's paying. And then he's got this, you know, infamous manager, Colonel Parker, mm-hmm. and he's got this massive mansion, all these girlfriends and women that he's like lavishing gifts on. And Priscilla talks about how, like, if they went to the movies, he would rent the entire movie theater out just for the two of them. Or, you know, they'd go see a concert, he'd rent the whole theater and the everything, the venue. And it makes me wonder, how much money must he have been raking in, even making those crappy movies, to keep that whole enterprise going?
It was a lot. The tax percentage, what am I trying to say? But like, there were higher taxes then too. And Colonel Parker was taking everything. And here's another thing. Elvis didn't write songs. He has no publishing.
That's publishing rights.
Right.
He's giving everybody cars.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, like, how he must have been just raking it in. You know, I'm sure he himself got a tiny fraction of what he was actually making.
Yeah.
And it just made my head swim, like, hearing about all of these extravagant gifts and the airplane and the this and the that mm-hmm. and especially the entourage and all of the gifts and the payroll. Wow. That's a lot of money.
It's a shitload of money. There's just like, there's no other way to say it. I mean, here's another thing with Elvis. He didn't want to be alone. He mourned Jesse was the twin brother that died 20 minutes after Elvis was born, which I don't know how his mother, you know, that must've been just a horrible thing, but he was super close to his mother, but his mother had a lot of drinking issues. He, you know, had an okay relationship with his dad. He had a great relationship with his grandmother, but he was an only child other than that. And he was famous, like, very young, like 20, 21. He went from doing the circuit around the Midwest and the South to all of a sudden he's on Ed Sullivan show and the Milton Berle show. And then he's just so famous. And my mom was just trying to describe it, like, almost Elvis was just everywhere out of nowhere. And
Yeah. It's interesting. And he, you know, he went from being just, it sounds desperately poor,
mm-hmm.
just like starving poor, to I have more money than I know what to do with. Meanwhile, he's got really virtually no education.
Right.
He's surrounded by yes men and people who are taking advantage of him, using him as a cash cow.
Yeah.
And so he is, according to Priscilla, he is just obsessed with the notion of losing his fame. And so he'll just do anything, according to Priscilla, to kind of keep the money coming in, because he's so afraid. He's so afraid to be alone, and he's so afraid to go back to being destitute. So, you think about all the amounts of drugs that he was taking. It's so many drugs.
So he proposes to her. They get married in 1967. Not a lot of their friends are there. It's mainly kind of a press event. It is a press event. They have a press conference.
Yeah.
So this is to make him now, he's going to be a family man. He's making an honest woman out of her. And according to Priscilla, it wasn't until their honeymoon that they had sex for the first time. And Elvis had told her before, by the way, that he didn't want to have sex with women who had babies. So she she becomes pregnant during the honeymoon. And 9 months later, Lisa Marie is born in February of 68. She'd said that in the book, she says, first, he was obsessed with her not losing herself, and meaning that she would get big, so she didn't really gain a lot of weight when she was pregnant. And that
she's a teeny person.
She's 5'4", and she was thin. And she said she only gained like maybe 10 pounds tops, that she really worked hard to not, you know, lose herself. And what's the word I'm thinking of? But anyway, so this happens. So Lisa Marie is born, and it's basically Elvis is like, all right, so now I'm married with a kid, and he's promised a special in December, Christmas, a holiday special. And he always did really well with the holiday music. Like, and I love Elvis music, Christmas music. I think it's like the best. Mm-hmm. He loses weight, fits into his black leathers, and he does a music special in 1968 in December, which was a very violent year. Martin Luther King died, and RFK died, and it was all of a sudden December comes around and he does this special. My mom was a fan, but she's like, he does this special and everything changes for him. He's hot, he's sexy, he looks great.
It's pretty hot.
He looks amazing.
He really does.
And he sounds good. And here it is. Like, these kids are here. He's surrounded by teenagers. Well, they were children when they first heard these songs, so they're totally excited to hear him playing it live. And it's like this audience that loves him. So he becomes kind of cool again. And he records great music after this. Like, I like his like 60s, early 70s stuff.
Yeah, he had some really good hits then.
They were amazing.
They're like, In the Ghetto and Suspicious Minds.
Hunka Hunka Burnin' Love. Like, he's got some great hits. But the problem is that the movie roles don't come in that he wants. And that kind of bums him out. And he sort of lets himself go. That's what I'm thinking of, letting himself go. And so he creates this stage show in Las Vegas and then takes it on the road. And we're talking about the spangly jumpsuits and the swinging of the arms, you know. And it's not cool to teenagers, this stuff.
No. It's cheesy.
They like the music, like, but they're, you know, people are like, just be in your jeans, man. Like, just play music. But he made more money putting on this spectacle in Vegas and taking it on the road. And it was like the audience was filled with middle-aged and old ladies. And, you know, Elvis has left the building and they would, like, throw their bras and panties on stage. And sad to say, Priscilla divorces him in 73. Multiple infidelities. You know, she just was tired of it. And she was doing all the raising of Lisa Marie. And then a few years later, Elvis dies. And so then Priscilla has to kind of figure things out. And that's how she ends the book. And she says, I know a lot of things have been written about Elvis. I don't want to go into that. Like, how remarkable he was as a person. That's all she wants to remember. And she's 40 years old. And that's like her truth for them. And that's how the book ends.
Right. But you can't help when you're reading it. As a grown woman, you know, reading this story, I mean, she's in a cult and she's been brainwashed. She's in this Elvis cult. And so is everybody else that's around him and that's benefiting from his money, frankly. Although she, you know, she genuinely loves him, but, you know, she's 14. She's 14 and in an extremely vulnerable place in her life, on top of the fact that she was 14.
Right.
And is getting whisked into this world where all the decisions are being made for her. She never thinks about what she wants or even what she's interested in outside of him. And anytime she starts to develop an interest, he makes her quit it because he's worried that it's going to take her attention away from him. There's a lot of like really troubling things in this book that she does not seem troubled by in the book. Now, since then, she's, you know, and now she's a grandmother.
Right.
And she had her own, you know, challenges raising her daughter after all of that. Because I think Lisa Marie is still quite young when this book came out. So her view of what happened has evolved is, I guess, what I'm saying. But I think, interestingly, too, that she, even though they divorced, I thought that was very interesting, their divorce.
Yeah.
And that, how they had this, like, they have this weird thing where they baby talk to each other throughout their relationship, like this weird baby talk that they do. But that she, when she finally realizes that she needs to leave him, you know, if she's going to have any kind of a life and is she going to be able to be a mother for her daughter. And she sees finally how destructive a path he's on and how she cannot save him. I think there's a lot of the book where she thinks she can save him.
Well, yeah. And you do when you're that age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. But she does get to a point where she realizes that she can't. And so she asks for a divorce, but famously, you know, they still stayed very close even after the divorce. There's this very famous photo of them leaving the divorce proceedings and they're holding hands.
Yeah.
As they leave the courthouse. I'm going to read the quote on the back of the book.
Yes. Oh, I'll read along with you.
It says, you know, this is like you pick it up in the airport. And so you look on the back of the book to see if you want to read it. And so it says, he taught me everything, colon, how to dress, how to walk, how to apply makeup and wear my hair, how to behave, how to return love his way. Over the years, he became my father, husband, and very nearly God. Personal photos included.
He was a big star. I get it. I mean, he was he was super, super famous, and they had a lot of chemistry. But she also talks about the fact that she was having an affair with a karate champion, and Elvis was super into karate, and then he got jealous. And then she talks about, so he got mad and made love violently to me, which is rape.
Yes. I will say that in the book, she kind of sugarcoats it a little bit. In the movie, they're more direct about it, which I appreciate. I'm glad that they didn't try to sugarcoat it as much in the movie. In the movie, she flat out calls it rape.
Right.
So I did appreciate that, because I was really bothered by that in the book, that I felt like, you know, obviously she wasn't in a place where, you know, she could say that. I get it. You know, her daughter was still super young.
Yeah.
I understand. But I did appreciate that about the movie, that they called it what it was. So that was good. But I was going to say, but then she went on to have a lot of famous relationships.
Yeah. I mean, she's beautiful. She was acting. She's charming. She's sweet. I mean, I get it. And she's had her own losses also in her life. Like, she's just had this amazing up and down kind of life. But should we talk about the TV movie, which comes out in 1988?
Yes.
Okay. It's not exactly a trailer, but it's kind of a preview clip. It's not the best quality, but it'll give you an idea of what we're talking about. And I can't wait to talk about this part with you.
That is not my real father, is it?
She tried to escape a past that's hard to forget, only to find a future she could not imagine.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you?
She grew more exciting.
You come to me.
More inviting.
I can't get close enough.
Her beauty would touch his heart.
No, I've missed you so much.
And turn her into a celebrated queen.
Does your memory...
How long have you known Mr. Presley?
Just a few months.
Has he called you since he returned to the States?
Summer day.
Elvis and Me, Part 1, next.
And called you, sweetheart.
The movie is in two parts. And Margot, like Margot said before, we used to wait. We used to watch two-part things. And wait, you know,
nobody
a week sometimes.
A week, yes.
But this
now could... in the age of binge watching, where you'll watch the whole season in a weekend, that did not exist then. People barely had VCRs even to tape something and watch it later. So yeah, you would wait, you'd watch part one, and then you would watch part two, and a large part of part two would be a recap of part one, and we would just put up with it.
Yes. Well, they said this is another thing, like, it doesn't happen anymore, but it had an $8 million budget, which is gigantic for 1988. And I think most of it's on hair and makeup, because...
I think so too. Oh, no. You know what it's on is the music.
You're right.
I couldn't believe the music they included in that TV movie.
Yeah.
What? It's quite a music budget. Not just Elvis music, but I mean... I think there might have been Beatles. Definitely. I think there was Little Richard. Very pricey music.
Yeah. Well, so we're talking, it's February 7th, 1988. It had an $8 million budget. Larry Pierce is the director. It was the highest rated TV movie of the 87-88 season. It had 32 million viewers, which is Super Bowl numbers. Like, what? It's off the chain. So let's talk a little bit about our stars. So I love her. Susan Walters is a great, I think she's a great Priscilla.
I agree. I think she does a great job. What is your name that plays Elvis? I thought he did a good job too.
Dale Midkiff. Yes.
Yes. Dale Midkiff. One thing about the book, how many, I've got it right here in front of me, right in my hands. It is 320 pages.
Is it really?
And it is. But there's, you know, it's big print and there's a lot of pictures.
Yes.
And so it's a very quick read. Whereas the movie, it takes longer to watch the movie than to read the book, I feel.
I read this book so quickly. Yeah. I was shocked when you said 300 pages. I was like, what?
I cannot believe this movie. This movie is like, not only is it every single, there's nothing in the book that's not in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like added extra dialogue and stuff and characters that we have to know about for some reason in them. It's so, so long. It's 3 hours long and it's 90 minutes too long. Why was it two parts? Why?
I think because they got 30 million people. They were going to. Yeah, they were. I would do it. Yeah, because people we would take bathroom breaks. They had commercials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that it was a part of it. It is long, but I don't know. I still find it very watchable. I really get into it. I found a
even when he's in the jumpsuits, we're like, you're like, dude, look at yourself, really. This is how you want to go out on stage. Just, will you just check the mirror once before you leave the room? Just what? And he's like, no, he puts on his like yellow tinted glasses. And yeah. But it is again. And I think because they're so good, the two leads are so good.
Yeah.
And the art direction, I mean, it was shot in Graceland. So you get to see the inside of Graceland, which, because Priscilla Presley managed Elvis Enterprises. So, I mean, she was the one in charge of his legacy for years and years and years and years. And she's really responsible for turning it into the museum and, you know, tourist attraction that it is today. So I love all the Graceland stuff and the Hollywood stuff. And yeah, that's a lot of money.
It looks great though. I mean, it's on the screen. I mean, I think Quebec is like a stand in for Germany, but she's like in the book. And in this movie, they're really going hard for she was so innocent, pure as the virgin snow, just a wide-eyed teenager. And that's the what they're really pushing. And she's a kid. She's a child. 20 years later, there's this book that comes out, and it's called Child Bride. And they try to portray her as a sex pod. And she was coming for Elvis. And she was, you know, her mother had a thing for him. And, you know, between the both, there's some truth there. But I was really upset because in the movie, it's like it said, like Curry asks her to go to meet Elvis and he brings his wife with her and they meet the parents and seems so innocent. And it's probably wasn't nearly that. I think, you know, he just took her and apparently Elvis took off with her the first moment he met her. took her to his room, and it was like, it's not nearly as innocent as were said in the movie. But look, this is 1988, and I get it. You know, this is not what Priscilla wants. But in Child Bride, I just want to tell you, so Cary Grant is, he for years says that she was the one who came on to him, and she performed sexual favors, and the author had the two of them in her home arguing about this. And he's just totally gaslighting Priscilla. You're crazy. You don't remember things. You blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, she was just a kid. You were 27. Yeah. So she's just, she's being taken advantage of for her innocence all over the place. But I think she, and maybe she didn't know what how many girlfriends Elvis had, or I don't know. But she adored him. But he wasn't always great to her. He had he was a large child himself. And but they like the music is super great when they meet. There it just I hope that was the way it was. I mean, I'm gonna, like I said, this is Priscilla's truth. I'm gonna respect it.
I like you, Priscilla. The first minute I saw you, I felt close. You know, like I could talk to you about things that I couldn't talk to other people about. I used to talk to my mother, and she'd always listen and understand. I wish she could have met you. I think she would have liked you as much as I like you.
I wish I could have met her too.
Well, don't get nervous, I'm just getting comfortable. I'll be going back to the States soon. I'm back to Graceland. I don't know what it's going to be like without Mama there when I got drafted. It was like she just sort of gave up on life. She's so afraid something was going to happen to me. That in Germany meant nothing but war and danger as far as she was concerned. We were awful close. She could sense things. It was like if I was in an accident or something, I could be miles away and she'd just rear up out of bed screaming my name. I should have been with her. Man, it's hard for me now. I loved her more than I could ever explain. You know something? That's the strangest kind of thing. But I feel safe with you, Scylla. For the first time since Mama died, I feel safe.
And I like Dodger, the grandmother. I could tell like how much she adored her. Like Priscilla really loved her.
Yeah.
They had a really good relationship. And Vernon seems like a nice enough guy. But Elvis was surrounded by yes men. They were called the Memphis Mafia. And you couldn't get to Elvis unless you got through them. They liked party girls. They liked to party. That was probably a real drag for, you know, Priscilla when she's trying to have a, you know, raise her daughter in this environment.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mess. did she get into Scientology? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. She got Lisa Marie into it too for a while. And then the rumor was when Lisa Marie married Michael Jackson, the Church of Scientology was psyched because they were trying to get Michael to join Scientology. But Michael was like, nah, I'm not doing that.
That interestingly, I didn't know this, that the book, if not the movie, the book inspired the Depeche Mode song Personal Jesus.
I know. I love that. I love
Amazing.
That.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it is like, again, she's in a cult. So obviously,
right.
Say what you will about that. But book or movie?
I'm going to pick the book.
I'm going to pick book too.
Yeah, I think the TV movie's fun, and I liked watching it. And I think like the hair and makeup are great, the costumes are great, and I think everybody's really good in it. All the actors are really good, and the songs are it's fun to hear the songs. But
yes,
the book is juicier, and I just super loved it.
Yeah, I found the book more entertaining than the movie, but I did like the movie. I think it's way too long, but I get why it's way too long, and I think everybody did a good job.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think that the book is more entertaining for sure.
Yeah.
And it, again, is a less of a time investment, I feel.
Yeah.
it's such a fast read. I was like zipping through this thing, and I feel like I learned a lot. I learned a lot about Elvis Presley that I didn't already know. It was just interesting. I think just as a tale, a cautionary tale of how, you know, this young girl got sucked into this situation that was so much bigger than she was.
Right.
And mostly made it out okay. Yeah. I think it's pretty good.
But if you've never seen the movie, I would say if you can find it on YouTube like we did, it's worth a check. It's worth checking out.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's fine. I mean, I'd like to get the real story someday, but I don't know if we'll ever get that.
No, probably not.
And you probably couldn't film it. They're kids. She's a kid.
No. I liked the end of the – I thought the end of the movie was really cool. Like the end of the book is just her like – you know, just saying like, oh, he was really special to me and he was, you know, he was and remains the greatest influence in my life. And that's kind of how it wraps up. I liked the way that the movie ends with him going to kind of beg for her back. And then you see how lonely he is and what a mess he's made of things. I thought that I liked that. I thought that was good. The book opens with his death.
Right.
Which the movie does not. The movie goes in chronological order. And I thought that, oh my gosh, what's her name? I'm sorry. What's her name that plays Priscilla?
Susan Walters.
She does a great job of playing all those ages, I feel.
Yep.
I felt like she, you know, like when she's playing 13, she's a very believable 13. When she's playing 16 and she's had the makeover in Vegas, like you believe it, that this is a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end where she's a more mature woman, you know, who's trying to get a life on her own, you do believe that. I thought that was really good.
I totally agree. And I should say, by the way, that the songs are, most of Elvis's songs are sung by a singer, Ronnie McDowell. So I
very
think,
well.
Very well. That's, I mean, there. Yeah. I was singing Are You Lonesome Tonight? Like, that was been in my head for days.
Oh, me too.
I love that
I know.
Song. I didn't realize. I really love. Oh, that's my question. What's your favorite Elvis song?
Oh, my favorite Elvis song. I love I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. I think that's such a beautiful song.
It is.
And I love Suspicious Minds.
Oh, that's
I
such
think
a great
that's
song.
A great song. What else? And then like the rockin', you know, like Jailhouse Rock, I think is Blue Moon. Oh, my gosh. His version of Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. Like you're going to wear that record out. People used to wear records out.
Yes, they did. You had to buy another one.
Could do.
So, yeah, I love Burnin' Love. I just think that's an amazing song. I love Mystery Train. I like his really early stuff.
Yeah, I love Mystery Train.
I could play that song over and over again.
My new one is, what did I just say?
Are You Lonesome Tonight? That's like I walk around the apartment singing it out loud to my cats. Like it's
he had a beautiful voice.
He did.
And there's that great recording where it Elvis, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and is it Carl Perkins who's the fourth one of them?
Sun
right?
Records. Yeah, it's Sun Records.
They just happened to all be at Sun Records and they had this like jam session. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a super talent.
I mean, super talented.
Yeah.
And you just feel so – and that's another thing. It's okay, yeah, he's brainwashing her and he's all – he did a lot of creepy stuff. But on the other hand, here's a guy who again, not very educated, super poor, didn't have a lot of avenues. I mean, what would he have done if he couldn't sing, right?
Right.
What would his life have been? And he has just this jaw-dropping voice from heaven. It's really extraordinary. It's quite a story. You know, like I said, this guy who has absolutely nothing but this amazing gift that, like, you can't hear that voice and not be impressed.
And his performance, I mean, his stage performance. Oh, yeah. I mean, and the good looks, my goodness, my God, it was beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, it's rare. He had his demons. Let's say that he was a messed up person, and it was just
And kind of like, you know, like other victims of fame like that, that they just, one, they don't have the right people around them.
Right.
And they don't ever have an opportunity. We know when you have that, when you go from zero to 180 miles per hour without ever having a chance to figure out who you are, you know, what you want out of life. And yeah, I felt very sorry for him. I felt very sorry for both of them reading the book, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. He comes across as human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was fun, though.
Creepy.
He was a creep. He was creepy. But he was also a big star. You know, he was also talented. And it's okay to like his music and just, you know, but not approve of all of his decisions.
Yes. So we have had some really very cool suggestions from the listenership lately, in the Facebook group and otherwhere. And so we were just discussing before we came on the air what we're going to do next. And somebody had, I forget who it was now. Of course, I can never remember when we're actually live and recording. I can never remember people's names. I apologize. But someone made the very good suggestion of a classic of literature, that which is always fun.
Yeah, so it's Turn of the Screw. It's Henry James. It's a very short read. There's 120 pages. There have been many, many, many adaptations, but we are going to pair it with the 1961 movie, The Innocents. And that is available on YouTube, so you guys can be able to get it. And the book is really easy to get. And I've never read the book, and I've never seen this movie.
Nor have I.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun.
I am very excited too. Yeah, I was kind of interested about Henry James. I've been reading a lot lately about Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas, and I know that he was, they were in that same kind of circle together and knew each other. So I'm excited to read it. I've never ever read it. It was one of those books that would always be, you know, when you're in college and you're taking your lit class and you get like a long list of books and you're supposed to pick like 12 out of 30 books. And it was always like on the list, but I never read it. So I'm excited to read it.
Yeah, same here. So that'll be coming up, you guys. And once again, follow us on all of the places for social media, especially if you have suggestions. A great place to leave a suggestion is in an iTunes review. If you leave us 5 stars and you don't know what to say, just give us some ideas there, because that's a great place for us to look for suggestions. So if you could do that, that'd be amazing. Join our Patreon page if you're interested. And you could, like I said, find us on all the things. Find us on social media. We love your ideas. And thank you so much. And Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me on the internet at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media is at She's Nacho Mama. And where can they find you?
You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, with Brooklyn Fitchick, and my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And we'll play a little Elvis music on our way out. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to the Book versus Movie podcast. We're a part of the Electronic Media Collective, and we follow the hashtags Podern Family and Lady Pod Squad. You can find us on social media at Book versus a Movie. You just spelled it all out for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can send us an email at bookversusmoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to join our Facebook group, look for us under Book vs Movie Podcast Group in Facebook. Ask to join, and you may be lucky enough to get in. We also have a Patreon page if you want to support the show. Go to patreon.com and look for Book vs Movie Podcast. We record the show with our handy H6N, donated by those of you who are nice enough to contribute to the Patreon page. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.
Do you miss me tonight?
Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and pictures